Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. I thought I would delay the start of the show because I had an update. Whenever there's a Windows update, my network goes off and my TV can't work. But I thought we're doing it live. We're going to do it without the TV because the update is stuck at 5%. I don't know how it is that a Windows update in any way, and we're not even talking about the beginning of installing the update. We're just talking about the update being detected. It ruins the network. How does that work? I don't know. In any case, today we'll be talking about the EPA court decision, a very important decision. Someone on Gab was describing this as an attack on the deep state by the Supreme Court. It's going to make it much harder for federal authorities to make these little rules that are not in the law. They just decide the rule. They are unelected officials. They take control of the country. And that's how the deep state proceeds. Now, I don't think it's a full slash of all the deep state because I think intelligence services will be basically unaffected. But at least for the deep state of environmental concern, that will certainly be a big blow. This EPA decision, which comes in favor of West Virginia and the coal companies, we'll look into the details of it, and it's very interesting. It's another big decision that probably will make much less noise than Roe v. Wade, but probably is more important. Roe v. Wade is strictly about abortion. This one as a removal of a lot of authority for unelected officials. Eric Moss says, when does a seed become a plant and how does that distinction contribute to the abortion debate? Very good point, you know. A seed is already pretty much a plant. If you've been seeding, for example, beans, you see the bean splits in two, creates a little stem, and then it's basically a bean hanging on a stem. The bean keeps its bean identity. You can see the bean survive through the process of growing the plant. So yes, there's no boundary, really. It's the same thing. LBRT sends 20 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, are you sticking with Odyssey? Your loss on here would be big. Well, we're going to see how it goes tonight. I'm definitely... Look, guys, I researched this yesterday because I was seriously considering going on Rumble. Rumble is not possible. Here's the explanation. Rumble has bandwidth limits for creators. I made the calculations. We are a big show in the sense that we consume a lot of megabytes and gigabytes because the listeners of this show, even if it's a small crowd, they watch the whole show. And I made the calculation. At $10 per month at Rumble, they give you something like 50 gigabyte or 250 gigabyte. I don't remember. But I calculated that at $10 a month, we could do one show on Rumble. Basically, 1,000 people watching a 1 gigabyte show, which is what it is on average, with average quality, Rumble would charge me $10. Now, if I want to get into the professional, we're talking about $100. And $100 would not even be enough to sustain the current show. I would have to pay extra above $100 for the current bandwidth that the show is consuming. So look, Rumble may be a nice service to have. And they say that live streaming is unlimited. But once you've uploaded your live stream, they start the counter for the gigabytes. And so everyone who watches offline would consume these gigabytes. And basically, it's not financially viable. So I'm sure they have a super good service. But do I want to pay to stream to you guys? No. Because I think I'm born on the internet that is free for everyone. It was, we were leaving it to the companies, find a way to make money with us, but leave us alone. And Rumble is totally going against this grain. So Rumble is not an option. So leaving Odyssey would mean returning to YouTube. I don't want to return to YouTube. So I contacted by email the Odyssey people. They're telling me they are on the verge of finding fixes for the buffering problem. I have to say they did fix the sound problem as far as I can tell, because it's been 4 shows in a row where there's no sound issue. So Stephen J. James sends 5 LBC and he says tick 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 tick. But I think I cannot leave Odyssey tomorrow. I think I want to leave them a chance to solve this buffering problem. And on top of it, the big problems of yesterday were due to the DDoS attack. So let's be tolerant here. Let's extend my tick, 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 tick to 14 other days, because they told me they are working on it day and night. I want to see what they can do for 14 days, and it's not like it's dramatic. If it's buffering for you, you can watch us offline. We're going to have to tolerate this, because the other options are not interesting. Rumble is costly, and people are saying it buffers also. Well, that's a big problem. YouTube, it means no freedom of speech. I can't say fuck anymore. I want to say fuck, fuck, fuck. So we can't go elsewhere than Odyssey for now, and without major cost, either financially on the side of Rumble or in terms of emotional well-being for YouTube. I would feel very cognitively oppressed to be on YouTube, not able to root for what the Supreme Court is doing, not able to use all language I want to use. I don't want to go back there. I'm too old. Tuttle Grimm has sent 25 LBC. Thank you so much. He says, do you agree with the Dutch Prime Minister's decision to shut down farms to reduce nitrogen emissions? And are there any other elements on the periodic table you think governments should target for further restriction? Are you kidding me? I don't know about this decision. Let me Google it here. Dutch nitrogen emissions. Why would you want to limit nitrogen emission? You know that nitrogen is the main component of Earth, air. Isn't it 70% of the air is nitrogen? Netherlands government presents national program to reduce nitrogen greenhouse. Okay. So not nitrogen itself, but nitrogen greenhouse gas. So what is it? The Dutch Minister for Nitrogen and Nature Policy presented a plan laying out the objectives for Dutch nitrogen greenhouse emission reductions. The plan included both national and area-specific objectives. Responsible for developing corresponding measures to reach the nitrogen emission reductions between 12 and 70%. Farmers in some provinces will be particularly hard hit by the area-oriented approach, and the Dutch government acknowledged there is not a future for all Dutch farmers within this approach. Are you kidding me? This is exactly what the Supreme Court has rejected, basically, today in the US. I'm so thankful for the Supreme Court decision. Of course, the Europeans and the Canadians are probably not going to have as much luck with it. By the way, after we're done reviewing the news, we'll get to garden update. Look at this harvest from today. A strawberry, a couple of yellow beans. This side of the pot is all parsley. This side of the pot is all cilantro. I am... Sorry. I am proud. And look at this. This is sage. It needed for me to learn stuff over 2 or 3 years before I could get cilantro and parsley to that perfect texture. I am happy. Philosoraptor says, what's really wrong with Rumble? It's the financial aspect. They limit your bandwidth and they charge you by bandwidth. And I made the calculation. The $10 option doesn't work. The $50 option a month doesn't work. We would be in the $100 to $200 a month for the bandwidth that we currently consume. And if we have mimetic success, it would be dramatic. basically I would be leaking money to Rumble, and I don't want to do that. I don't like subscription service. I don't like rolling bills every month. Din Olegovich says, I cannot grow Cilantro. It hates me. Ah, yeah, I mean, it's hard. You have to understand what you're doing. You have to deprive Cilantro, basically, of and of sun. You know, my big error initially was to think, just plant Cilantro, put it in the sun. No. The Cilantro does best in shade when it's... It needs to create leaves to seek the little sun that it can. Basically, when you cultivate a lettuce or something that that where you want to consume the leaves, you need to deprive them of sun so that they create more leaves to reach the sun, and that's how you trick the plant into thinking that it doesn't have much energy. Basically, you have to mistreat Cilantro. That's how you farm Cilantro. Philosoraptor says, Crowder streams on Rumble and he's awesome. Okay. Great for him. I guess if Crowder streams there, he must be paying the $1,000 a month. I don't have $1,000 a month to put on this show. That would threaten the stability of the show. So, in any case, very proud with my harvest, and I've taken photos. Later, we can look at the photos across my garden. John Drake says, the Supreme Court has checked the administrative state. This decision will carry over to reach in general. Absolutely. And some people are experiencing buffering. That's really too bad. Well, Philosoraptor says, how about Twitch? I've been on Twitch at the beginning of my career, but it's worse than YouTube in terms of censorship. So forget about covering things that relate to white people. Forget about even showing crimes that exist. Forget about using video of events as they happen. I don't want to be on Twitch. California presses ahead with restricting doctors' speech from going against contemporary scientific consensus. This is the administrative state putting its grasp over the speech of doctors. The likely unconstitutional bill is heading to the Senate Appropriations Committee. I can't wait to see this in Supreme Court. Unfortunately, they're going to intimidate a lot of doctors for a lot of time, I suppose, before this gets to the Supreme Court. And the problem is, will we find a single doctor who wants to test that law? Because you're going to lose your license probably for a couple of years before it gets to the Supreme Court. Hopefully we can start a case. We can have a doctor that says, all right, I haven't said it, but I would like to say something. Can we get a Supreme Court review on this? And perhaps we could get something from that. But it's going to create a chilling effect on doctor free speech. They're not going to be able to talk against the vaccine. California is dying. It's a shithole. Don't live there. Stephen J. James says, a short YouTube vacation with select cuck content might help bring more viewers back here. Possible, but you know, I was looking at my subscriber count at 4,200 here, and I was like, hey, I built this. I don't want to abandon this. It's chill here. We will grow at times in the future when Odyssey is fully up to standard and when there's political mimetics going on. I don't want to leave Odyssey. I really like Odyssey. I hope that they fix it because, well, for now, the buffering, how long did it last for you guys? What was the length of the buffering? Firestarter says, it's the temp change that is mostly uncomfortable. Embrace the natural temp, and after 1 to 2 days, you won't notice. Talking about the summer, I guess. Thomas Howard says, as with most things in life, you get what you pay for. With Rumble at $1,000 a month or YouTube, they own you. The real costs are high. My experience with buffering on Odyssey has been minimal. The choice is clear. All right. All right. Kin selection, an evolutionary explanation for tribalism and altruistic behavior. Tom Walker, I've seen this name around, but I don't know him very much. But he wrote about kin selection. And he says, well, he first presents altruism, kin selection theory, group selection theory, and some opposition to group selection theory. I don't think he focuses on the right objections. So he addresses all weak objections, but he doesn't address the kind of objection that I do. So again, kin selection, does it work in theory? Yes. Are we really sure that we have a single behavior in the entirety of the human species that requires kin selection explanations? No. Because we're not even sure that there is such a thing as sacrificial behavior in humans. Even if you want to take the most extreme case of a guy saying, I'm going to war, I don't care about dying, I'm going to do it for my country. Are they doing it for their country, really? Or are they doing it for the children that they already have in the country? And all of these cases of random generosity and random risk-taking for saving others, all could be explained by some misfiring. You know, perhaps you evolved to save others at zero cost, but perhaps also your brain hasn't properly evolved to truly tell what is zero cost and to truly detect all of the risk presence in a situation. So, and on top of it, if you save people, perhaps you benefit from the saving. Perhaps having someone in the community who owes you life, perhaps that's a better bet than letting him die. Perhaps you will eventually benefit from his collaboration and from his from benefits that he would give you. So to me, it's not clear at all that we've ever found a single human behavior that demands either a group explanation theory or a kin selection theory. As far as group selection, and then we extend to the tribe and to eventually the nation. Again, mathematically, does it make sense? Yes, there could be. If kin selection makes sense mathematically, it could make sense at any order of magnitude. You could argue that you keep the genes of your species alive. But again, are there enough historical events in which the white race, say, is confronted with the black race and has a real opportunity to make their race more fit? I don't know about this. I don't know, because I think that the races of the world basically have interfaced mostly once, not in the context of war, and it's right now. It's because the traveling possibilities have expanded in the modern world, and it led to races that were generally like 99% of the time living away from each other suddenly live together. So, given this, can we really say that we have an evolved behavior today that has evolved for the kin in the sense of a big nation? I have very big difficulties believing this. And then the smaller you restrain it, let's say we don't talk about nations, but we go to villages and tribes. Well, there has been tribes that were warring between one another, say, in the Native American world. Now they were warring, and most probably the people who were at war were protecting ultimately the existence of their own children in their tribe, and they were protecting their daughters, and they were protecting their close kin. So then, when you are fighting for the tribe, are you truly fighting for the enlarged kin of the extended tribe, or are you just fighting, just like a parent would, for all of the children that you already have? To me, it's not even clear that Native American tribes in situations of war fit a group selection hypothesis necessarily, or a kin selection one. And as was pointed out by some thinkers before, There's a form of group selection thinking that's basically equivalent to kin selection theory. And then there are more aggressive theories of group selection thinking that is a little more extended, that require more things. But I've never seen a case of a behavior that requires that explanation and that doesn't have the alternative. And that's still my problem with this text here. R. Kelly has been sentenced to 30 years in prison on sex trafficking conviction. Oh my God. Prosecutors were seeking 25 years. It's weird because he's being accused of having a network of people. Now, they characterize this as a sex trafficking network. But he really had a network of people supportive of him in the US. And one of the things they were doing is make females available to him, but that seemed to always consent. So they seem to be engaging in this relationship consensually. So I find it weird, this 30 years. Now, people are pointing out he had this bizarre relationship with a 15-year-old singer. Okay, that's a little pushing the luck, too young. But other than this, I find this a very severe punishment. You really have to say, all right, this network of friends that he had, just because they were presenting females to him who consensually had sex with him, it's a sex trafficking network. Zib says, Jeff, have you watched Theo Fleury's interview with Tucker? Theo's views seem mostly aligned with mine in the domain of what normies consider conspiracy theory. Canada's Theo Fleury with Tucker Carlson today. Well, thanks for the link. I haven't watched it. I'll go watch it tonight. All right. What did we want to talk about? Oh, yeah. Let's get to the... To the Supreme Court ruling on EPA. In landmark ruling, Supreme Court deals massive blow to Biden's climate change agenda, at the same time as it gave the Biden admin a token victory by overturning Trump's Remain in Mexico rule. Yeah, that's an important one. I'm not pissed at the Supreme Court for making that decision. They've basically said, no, when Biden took over, he doesn't have to follow the old Trump rules. He's not bound by it, and his administration can now change the rule. I was finding that the decision of the lower court was ridiculous in this case. The decision of the lower court, although, you know, I'm happy if it was allowing people to remain in Mexico. So the decision was good in its outcome, but I found it ridiculous in its fundamental reasoning. They were saying we have to stick to Trump rule because the new agency that now works under the Biden umbrella cannot change the rule that fast. They haven't changed it properly. To me, if a new administration takes over, they shouldn't be bound by the past administration, which is what they had argued with Trump also. And I've always been against this, you know. If the people has voted for a new representative, they should be able to take over all and to eliminate everything that was done by the previous administration. That being said, that's a relatively minor ruling compared to the EPA one. The US Supreme Court struck a major blow to Biden's fight against climate change. SCOTUS also curbed the ability of America's top environmental regulator to limit greenhouse gas emissions, siding with coal miners and Republican-led states. In a majority opinion authored by Chief Justice John Roberts, the justices ruled that in the latest example of Democratic overreach, the EPA was not specifically authorized by Congress to reduce carbon emissions when it was set up in 1970. The ruling leaves the Biden administration dependent on passing legislation if it wants to implement sweeping regulations to curb emissions. So let me explain it in a very simple manner. The EPA is the agency of the federal government that should supervise environmental stuff. And since the 1970s, they've been defined in law. And the law from the 1970 states this. Definitions, A1. For purposes of this section, the term standard of performance means a standard for emissions of air pollutants which reflects the degree of emission limitation achievable through the application of the best system of emission reduction, which, taking into account the cost of achieving such reduction and any non-air quality, health and environmental impact and energy requirements, the administrator determines has been adequately demonstrated. So it all revolves around this part of the law, because you can see in how it's defined. This was basically ordering the EPA. Look, when you see a coal plant, you go to that coal plant, or you see a natural gas plant, you go to these plants and you suggest the best filter possible or whatever machine is necessary to reduce its emissions. And it needs to be something that has demonstrated that it works. So basically, they were saying to the EPA, improve the reduction of emissions of existing plants as much as you can using the best available system. Now, since 2015, the EPA, under Barack Obama, has decided to creatively process these words. And here's what they said. They said, here's a good system of emission reduction. I present to you a new machine. This machine is called shut down your plants. That's literally what the EPA said. Basically, the EPA says, we know what's the best system for reducing emissions. You shut down your plants and you build new ones. And so by doing so, the EPA was being capricious. It was imposing massive expenses to states just because they were saying, well, coal produces more emission than natural gas, so destroy your coal plant and replace it with a natural gas plant. Of course, it's starkly different from the language in there. The EPA was really being creative. And at no point in the last 40 years had they been doing anything like this. But that was Barack Obama's way of forcing a reduction of greenhouse emissions without having a law for it. So he was rolling on the old law managing the EPA. So this creative reading of the law is what was on trial in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court answers, no. It's very clear from the context of this law. It's impossible, first, that the legislature in 1970 would have wanted the EPA to shut down state coal plants at will. Impossible for the purpose of greenhouse gas emissions. So they're saying, clearly, this has been creatively read. It's clear from the reading of these definitions that basically the EPA has been ordered by the legislature not to shut down plants and create new ones at the cost of the people. It's just been asked to find the best way to stop the reduction that are possible. So within the reasonable bounds of demonstrated before, and it works, and it's not too costly, and it doesn't endanger people, you find the best filter and you impose it on the coal plant. And that's it. So we now have the Supreme Court willing to whip the federal government and say, no, you're not going to go around the United States and tell the states that they have to undertake hundreds of billions of dollars of investment in new plants. Your job is to counsel the best way to reduce the emissions when it's possible, but you can't invent a new plant and totally bar existing plants. That's not within your purview. So, of course, we had the disagreement and the dissent of the Democratic members of the Supreme Court, Justice Kagan, Justice Breyer, who's leaving now and who will be replaced by Ketanji Brown Jackson, I believe that's her name, and Justice Sotomayor dissenting. Climate change causes and dangers are no longer subject to serious doubt. Modern science is unequivocal that human influence, in particular the emission of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide, has warmed the atmosphere, ocean, and lands. They always go back, of course, to their to the leftist pillars. You know, the vaccine works, the environment is hot, and it's because of humans. And their argument is that precisely this, their argument is on the word best here. They say the application of the best emission reduction, the best system of emission reduction. And they're like, the legislature wrote the word best, and the best way to stop emissions is to shut down the plants. I think, and the thinking of the other, the majority of the Supreme Court on this is to say, best just means the best filter you can find. Fine, for the current plant that you have. It doesn't mean you can change the plant to something else. Based says, being out in the heat is one thing, but at night and morning is the major annoyance. Waking up several times in the heat, I don't know about temperature control, mad raises. The near-term fix should be going to bed earlier and not eating soon before bed, as you said. Especially meat, maybe. Try sleep in a tub. Oh, well, yeah. Today I've installed my conditioned air, and I now have this ventilator system in the studio. The ventilator system is taking air from outside, and it's cool enough for now. I don't know if at the peak of the summer I'll need to find something better, perhaps, but it's been great today with the AC. I just turned it on to try it for an hour, and it was good. The AC is still working after all this crazy life that I've lived. I've carried this AC around, but now it's here forever. The Fed is quietly handing out $250 million to a handful of happy recipients every single day. The Fed's QE may be over and QT may be just starting. It won't last long, but don't think the Fed free money giveaway is ending anytime soon. In fact, for a handful of happy, mostly anonymous counterparties, the real free money bonanza has just begun. So apparently there's still money flowing into the economy, but it's in the form of interest rate paid to whoever owns these repo, reverse repo facility. Too complicated of the economics of this for me, but my understanding is they're now making money because they are, by the dictates of the Fed, they are now paid interest on this on these deposits of money. Four men charged after 53 migrants die in smuggling disaster. Four men, including two Mexican nationals, have been arrested in connection with the people smuggling operation that resulted in the horrific death of 53 people in the back of a semi-trailer near the southern US border. I don't know, I think I may have not covered this news, but it's been going on for a couple of days. So a big semi-truck, 53 people in it, but it was so poorly ventilated, so much heat, and the driver was on meth apparently, so somehow they all died. They all died due to the heat and to the compression and to the fact that it's not made to transport human beings. Based says, yeah, it's not enough. Wake up, cold shower is a frequent occurrence. Yeah, cold shower will remove the heat, let me tell you. Sometimes, you know, I'm not even able to go as cold as I would want it to be. It's like, oh, too cold. But it drains the heat from your body and it gives you a good hour or two where, you know, you'll feel good. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats and it is the right place to support the show tonight. Alternatively, you can also click on the Entropy link. The Entropy link is in the description below. DOJ has Virginia suspend all benefits. VA, is it Virginia? No, the Veterans Affairs. Okay. DOJ has Veterans Affairs suspend all benefits of January 6 prisoners. Just when the wife of one incarcerated January 6 prisoner believed things couldn't get worse, the Department of Veterans Affairs informed her that they are going to suspend all of her husband's benefits. According to United States Representative Louis Gohmert, this is what you have when vindictive leftists get in charge of major parts of the government. Yeah, this is punishing people through what amounts to basically salary or welfare, basically. I mean, Veterans Affairs, probably this was a payment made for someone who's been in the army. It's insane that this could be used to oppress political opposition. Unbelievable. Because he's indicted and charged with seditious conspiracy. Unbelievable. Len Solo says, I would like to donate Odyssey shekels, but the threshold is beyond my income bracket. Oh yeah, how does that work? How is the threshold working? I'm not aware that there was a threshold in the cash option. I thought you could just pay $5, $3. Or are you telling me that the threshold is that you could only give you could only give 50 cents minimum? What is the threshold you're seeing right now? I'm curious because unfortunately that's one weakness with Odyssey. They don't show you, as the creator, they don't show you the dollar button. So I have to just guess what you guys see. The one housing chart that shows a buyer's market has returned. Man, I was absolutely certain that this was the case, but I'm happy to see that it's visible on a graph, because family and close the relationships with me have been selling real estate, and oh my God, it's easy. You can sell real estate right now. You can sell real estate right now instantly. You just announce it and poof, you get the request, and people are like, I want to get this as quick as possible. Here's the offer. Sign it, please. And it's like, oh, wow. And of course, when these situations happen, people are like, oh, maybe you should have asked for more money. But it sells at very high price. I don't know where all this money comes from. People must be state employees with massive salaries or whatever. But somehow the real estate market is in high heat. And many, many close people of mine have been benefiting a lot from it. It's going to be comfortable years. Lots of profits made on stuff that was bought in the past and that was not used, and somehow it doubles in value all of a sudden. But we have an affordability crisis that had removed millions of new home buyers as the number of active US listings soared 18.7% in June from a year earlier. The most significant increase is in realtor.com data going back to 2017. The days of insane bidding wars, waiving home inspections, and putting in an offer 20% or more over the list price appear to be over. In other words, a buyer's market could be emerging. Well, I think it's going to emerge slow because the demand is so high. We're not going to see big crashes of price instantly, but if we talk over the next 3-4 years, certainly we're going to get back to lower prices. That would be my impression, at least. Florida judge says, Governor's Stop Woke Act. I love this act. Whatever it is, I love it because, oh my God, you name your law Stop the Woke. Florida Chief U.S. District Judge Mark Walker ruled on June 27 that the state can enforce the Stop Woke Act, but did not rule on its constitutionality nor a piece affecting colleges and universities. The judge, who was appointed by President Barack Obama in 2012 and became Chief Justice in 2018, ruled that HB7 can move forward and regulate how race can be taught in the classroom and the workplace. The new law is part of DeSantis' education agenda that targets ties to critical race theory in the state school system, as well as corporate training at companies surrounding white privilege. Yeah, I think he's not saying with this law you can't freely speak about CRT. Compare this to the California law, for example, that we talked about earlier, which bans doctors from making public statements. It doesn't ban doctors to in their office to apply a certain practice. It says even if you're on Twitter, even if you're on Gab, or if you're on Odyssey, you can't say these things. You can't say the vaccine doesn't work. Here we have a very different law. It's not saying to the teacher you can't believe in CRT or you can't talk about it on your TikTok account. It says it's not part of the program, so you don't teach it to children. I think it's totally reasonable. I hope that this doesn't get considered a violation of the First Amendment, because if that's a violation of the First Amendment, then anything, any request, let's say when we say to someone, you're going to teach mathematics, well, that's a violation of his First Amendment, right? He doesn't want to teach mathematics. He wants to teach, erected penis theory. Well, we tell him to teach mathematics, so we're violating his First Amendment. That doesn't make sense. I think a state, if it has public schools, I don't think they should have public schools, but if we are there, they should be able to control executively what happens in these schools, what is part of the teaching program. Firestarter says the most costly mistake people make with AC is setting the AC to 60F when 75 is the perfect temp and uses less power. Well, yeah, I mean, personally, I set it very low, but I play a lot with the on-off button, you know. Of course, there's different ways to go at it. You can have the AC constantly on and hope and set the temperature so that it cycles through moments where it does cool and moments where it doesn't cool. That's the ideal power consumption strategy if you want to leave it on. But if you're like me and you're basically using your AC manually, you can put it at very low temperature and you never reach that temperature. You just turn it on when you need it. And then when you feel like the house is good, turn it off and that's fine. Sam says, I don't want to teach mathematics. I want to teach black mathematics. That is basically what we're being told by the left right now. Still buying the dip. Commodity buy the dip hasn't worked in a while. Most investment banks have remained buying the dip in the commodities space over the past weeks. This has been a very expensive strategy. BCOM continues collapsing today, and what looked impossible only a few weeks ago is now reality. The BCOM approaching the 200-day moving average, Well, that's a welcome news. Commodities, I hope that they return to a decent price. So I'm happy that this is crashing because life had become unsustainable. Yeah, too bad for these banks. Keep that dip going. Don't buy the dip. Let it dip. John Drake says, my kids simply will never go to public school. No need to try and make a deal with the demons. Just avoid them altogether. That's my view pretty much. Now, we have to be understanding. I remember my life before I was a YouTuber, and it would have been basically impossible to homeschool. You know, when your life depends on a everyday work, there's some people who just can't. They don't have the means, and they are dependent on that work. They have to go to it physically. And so I wouldn't judge people who don't do homeschooling, but if you can afford it, homeschooling is totally worth it. California just leaked the name, address, and every concealed carry licensee in the state. The California government has leaked an enormous volume of personal data on the state's gun owners, including the name and address of every concealed carry permit holder in the state. The California Department of Justice launched its 2022 firearms dashboard portal. I'm starting to be tired of this state activity, because private corporations would do this, they would get sued and punished, but states keep doing this. They have all these records of taxes and property and locations, and it's like we're on the internet era here. Whatever you put on the internet will be there forever, and they act completely carelessly with the information of people. I mean, I don't want to exactly tell the story that happened yesterday, because I don't want to give people bad ideas, but basically someone who's close to me needed their tax documents for some reason, okay? and I live away from civilization. I live like one day of driving away from these people, so I can't go in their home and do it for them. I found their tax document on the freaking internet. And it's like, so I took the document, sent them to my loved one, and they were able to print it. And it was like, wait a minute, you are giving me my tax documents? And I didn't find it in a private space. It's like, it's all there in public eye, all available. This information, including address, name, tax information, I can't believe that. And the state is like, oh, well, it's the state, you know, those are public affairs. Well, you're putting the name and address of people on the internet and very private information about them. Doesn't make sense. We have to have a redo of the whole standard of privacy on the internet. And it needs to be the case that you need to be logged in to and proven to be you to access this information. Thomas Howard says, California is really intent on driving their tax base to friendlier places. First doctors, then the concealed carry holders, many of whom are judges and lawyers in a place as difficult as California to obtain a license. Yeah, California is, it's not like a Republican state. It's a state where probably most people on there are police, people who are working in the legal system, that kind of stuff. The readily downloadable and downloadable information included names, birthdays, addresses, ages, the purchase date, and type of firearm permit they possess. Gender and driver's license number were also exposed. Unbelievable. We have to stop this. Biden and the G7 are pushing the world into a nightmare scenario. The West's Malthusian neoliberal political order is rapidly collapsing. Led by US President Joe Biden, the group of seven G7 economic powers announced plans to ban the transport of Russian oil sold above a certain price with the goal of hurting Russia enough so that it ends its war against Ukraine. There is only one way out for Putin to accept that his plans in Ukraine will not succeed. Not sure that will work. They wanna cut the economic legs of Russia. The problem is you can very well say, hey, okay, you cannot transport oil if it's not worth less than a dollar. Well, I'm gonna buy this oil to you for a dollar, and then you can send Bitcoin on the side. Like, if you're a foreign nation, I don't know that this scheme will stop you. Like China, for example, will China care about this thing? They are sovereign. They buy oil from Russia. They don't have to answer to America for doing it. So I don't know if it's a good strategy. Anyways, I'm against any sort of sanctions. Russia produces oil at a price of just $3 to $4 per barrel, and Russian firms can profit with oil prices at $25 to $30 a barrel. And while it's true that there is a near monopoly in shipping insurance, Russia has been creating alternatives to it. Well, that's exactly what they'll do. They'll create alternatives that will work around your system of oppression. All right, I would be headed toward the conclusion. I see that Crazy Catman has to go, work calls. Well, goodbye, Crazy Catman. You're going to miss the garden update because that's the last thing we need to do tonight. Update on my garden. Harvest today. A whole bowl of cilantro, parsley, sage, yellow beans, strawberry. And the garden is doing spectacular. I have to say that in the back of my greenhouse, something isn't working right. I think the pepper plants, I still haven't figured out, because they're surviving, they're doing well, surviving, but they're not growing. I wonder, maybe it's the soil acidity, maybe I do need to do some tests, but I'm very happy with the current progression in terms of improvements from the last year. And so even if I don't understand everything yet, I understand enough to grow much better the herbs, the spices, the lettuce. And so that's good, because I can think about the pepper problem next year. I can give it a couple of years to understand these plants better. But that is probably the biggest success this year. The raised bed garden, the lettuce are doing awesome, oregano doing, I don't know, is it oregano? I think it is. I have to figure it out. Lettuce, cilantro, parsley, beets doing excellent. Look at this. This is after my harvest. So what I did is I looked for plants of cilantro that have 3, 4, 5 branches. And I cut one of them. I cut the tallest one away. So that's why you see it's a little bit free here. That's because I cut a lot through here. That's how I filled my bowl of cilantro. And the idea of cutting just a fraction of the plant is that the plant can keep going. So you deprive it of some of its leaves. So it doesn't go to seed. It keeps producing more leaves to survive, but you don't kill it. Nicholas Petris says, sorry I'm late. Are you guys avoiding the recurring buffering somehow? I don't know. What about you guys? We learned yesterday that you can rewind 20 seconds and it will at least give you a relief of buffering for a while. So perhaps that's a solution. So parsley right here, extremely healthy. I've also harvested the parsley. I've harvested some of these cilantro here. Beets, doing awesome. I can't wait to eat. They seem like very healthy beet leaves. Last year I hadn't understood beets. This year I understand. So a beet is a plant that will lead to a single beet, but the branches of the beet are interesting for various salads. You can eat this, so that's where it's important. Basil, more parsley and some dill. I can't wait to harvest this dill, but it's not big enough yet. I'm gonna leave it a little more time. So one of the keys to succeeding at my herbs was to have a herbs raised bed. That's the best. To have an automated watering session and to plant very dense. Because if you don't plant very dense, and if you give too much sun and fertilizer, the herb will go into its seed producing mode and you won't recognize it. Like a little plant of cilantro, you don't want to grow it as an adult because it's when it's a baby that it's giving you good leaves. So what I did wrong in the last years was I was giving them all sorts of care, fertilizer, single seed at a single point. So it had too much energy, too much sun, too much heat, and it was too happy. And it was like one leaf and then poof, seed. You want to deprive these plants. So you see a lot of them in the earth so that they're fighting against one another. And while they're fighting, they're producing leaves and you cut the leaves. That's the trick with parsley, cilantro. And oh my God, is that a success today? Onions in the raised bed, doing good. Oregano, I believe. I have to do research on this plant. Like, it's growing extremely well, but I'm not sure what it is. And anyways, even if it's oregano, how does one harvest this? Do I have to cut the leaves? I don't know. I tasted it and it tastes like kind of arugula. I don't know what oregano should taste when it's fresh. So I have to research this. Those are my latest lettuce, so they're not fully grown yet, but look at this little frizzy, curly lettuce a little bit. Lettuce. And that is mint, I believe. My mint plant started with just a couple of leaves and they have now grown and are headed toward production. Rosemary just starting. And my biggest lettuce yet in the raised bed, that's basically a lettuce that I could harvest, but I know it can get much bigger, so I'm leaving it there and hoping that it gets mega huge. Those are gigantic lettuces that was written on the seed bag. My God, is that glorious. When you understand the amount of effort that went into understanding the lettuce, caring for the lettuce from the seed, you really respect these beasts. Not that as a food it's respectable, but as an as a kind of plant out there, I respect it. Blackberry with its dead big branch here. I'm so sad that my big blackberry branch is dead, but it's okay. It's going to create alternative branches. And the huckleberry, extremely productive, seems kind of available to... I've eaten one of those today. It's disgusting. It really doesn't taste blueberry. So I don't know if it's because I've eaten it too early, but at this point it is still extremely bitter. I had the impression of eating a green fruit. It was disgusting. So I don't know what will happen with these fruits. Will they taste better in a couple of weeks? Do I have to wait for them to turn some other color? I don't know. But for now, it's definitely not super interesting. Here we have the peach tree thriving, but not growing. Bezd says, I woke up with thoughts about the dynamics of cost/benefit in evolutionary fitness and where lies this fulcrum or diminishing returns of fighting your biology to increase markers like intelligence, like low versus high-tech lifestyle and civilization and leveraging technology for your legacy. Hashtag blame JF. That sounds like totally me. It sounds like you've been influenced by me. Stray says, I saw an article that stated Australians are paying $12 for a head of lettuce. Lettuce is extremely costly right now, which is why I'm happy that I figured out how to farm lettuce, because, oh my god, they're like $7-$8 Canadians for 3 Roman lettuce. Makes no sense. Tim Cox says, might be solanine in that huckleberry. Okay, I don't know what solanine is. I'll do some research. Another peach tree, thriving but not growing because we planted it this season. The raspberry, imposing, gigantic raspberry, spreading over the universe. There are new raspberry plants growing. I can see them. They're growing from where the raspberry had already established itself. And look at this. It's starting to be raspberry-like. You can see the fruit. It's still white. It's going to become red when it's ready. But I can see the growth. Look at this. Well in focus. A beautiful little raspberry. Look at this. Raspberry. Infinite amounts of raspberry. I mean, this is just one branch. Blueberry survives, grows very well, but still just leaves. No sign of blueberry production this year. That's okay. He can take his time. Cherry tree, glorious and tall, with little cherries here. I don't know about the cherries. I think some animal is basically living off my cherries, because as soon as they become somewhat red, they disappear. It's my impression that we're going to have to develop a bagging method of some kind that obstructs animals, because I don't know, some bird maybe comes in and steals those cherries. Or I don't know, maybe the cherries just die. I don't know what's happening with my cherries, but I remember having maybe 100 of them all green. And when they start turning red, I come back the next day and they disappear. So I don't even have the time to get them fully red, and they've been stolen from me. Rhubarb, blackcurrant, rhubarb here. Blackcurrant, still not black, still not red, but they are showing their readiness. These plants are extremely productive. I can't wait for them to be huge trees with infinite amounts of black currant. That's the red currant. Pear tree. Black currant. Look at all the little grapes. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. All hidden under each leaves. It's quite fantastic. Hazelnut tree. What I've mostly progressed since the last week is that I've been installing bamboo and strings in my greenhouse to tie up and give structure to the plants that need this. And one of the targets of this was this hazelnut. It was kind of on the side a little bit, curving, and I've straightened it up and I've attached it stronger to the bamboo so that it stands tall. Another hazelnut tree, but mixed in with so much jungle that's dominating over the ground, and I don't know too much what to do. I need a chainsaw. I need to take my chainsaw, but it's hard to get it started again, you know. I don't know, but it's kind of, I just need to go to the second floor, take my chainsaw, and start it. But somehow, psychologically, I'm blocked, but I think I might do this tomorrow. Pear tree, absolutely beautiful, taller than me. I got this pear tree about this height. And first year, second year, third year, it's going well. Apple tree, the black walnut, this one is spectacular because it spent 2 years not really able to produce leaves. It was producing a single branch, two branch, but now it has decided to go full growth, and you have the whole vertical growth right here. That's this year. It's all green, not lignified yet. And then all the side branches, that's too much. I'm gonna have to cut some, but that's the sign that this black walnut will make it. That's a little bit like the black walnut. Last year was a little bit like this. So this one has a little more difficulty. I'm not surprised because I've been very harsh with these black walnut. I've put them in very low lighting situation, but they're making it. Apple tree, glorious. Lots of branches, wants the sun. I love it. Another apple tree, more vertical one, doesn't send much branches, but that's okay. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to grow vertical, vertical. See, that's one thing I straightened up, the prune tree. I chose one of the branch as being the main one. And so the side branches are still sending in all direction. And that's another plum tree, majestic, beautiful long side branches. That's how it is. And the burdock experiment of Mama JF is going very well. I think we have even newer burdock coming out here, here, but the main burdock plants, this one, this one, this one, seem extremely healthy. Will they have enough time to grow in? We have what, 2-3 months left? Hopefully. Hopefully they do, but I'm very impressed that she was successful at, because a burdock, burdocks are those little fruits that have spikes on them. She just took that, she got the seeds out one by one, and she spread them in a very second grade soil, and see, they are thriving. And that is our potato and onion field. Amazingly, a potato has grown right in the wood chips. I can't wait to see under this. Is it grown in the soil or is it grown in the wood chips themselves? I haven't uncovered it. But amazingly, a potato plant has shown where I didn't expect one. What? How did that happen? I don't remember dropping a potato there. Maybe it's a potato that I've accidentally dropped. Anyways, the onion, red onion right here, yellow onion right here, green onion, and the potato plant, that is healthy potato plants. I think I've made the right thing in terms of soil decision, soil configuration, because I've never seen potato leaves that healthy. They're doing much better than last year. I think we're gonna have a lot of potatoes. And look at this, it's this one that came out of the wood chip. Absolutely fantastic. Just a life that we didn't expect. I will not abort it, you see? See, ladies, ladies in the crowd? I won't abort it. I didn't expect it, but I won't abort it. I will let it live in line with the Supreme Court decision of this year. I did another close-up on the potato leaves because I can't believe just how healthy that is. That is absolutely fantastic. And another apple tree, the smallest one, but yeah, this one I think I may have forgotten to put cow manure at the feed, so maybe it's the reason why it's... is it an apple tree or is it a pear tree? It could very well be a pear tree. And that is the greenhouse as it stands. I still have some work to do to complete the panels in the back ceiling, but it's living and healthy. Look at these, this field of garlic, absolutely beautiful. I think this garlic has pretty much grown to its full potential. Now all that I need to wait for is that it decides to die. And it will turn yellow, and when half of the leaves are yellow, then I will extract it from the ground and enjoy my garlic. Swiss chard, Swiss chard. This is my little cucumber and squash little starter triangle. Look at this, it's spreading, producing flowers, very healthy. And that's my tomato plants. Those are not linked to the middle of the greenhouse where I have these wires that I've just... So I've used the clothing line. Clothing line because I hope it will survive the winter. I was tired of making these ropes every year. So now I've used a permanent solution, which is a clothing line fully attached to the greenhouse and then attached to the ground through a little tent spike. But I also have these lines of tomatoes that are not linked to this system. Those are linked to bamboo sticks. So that's how they're doing. Typically, the ones I link to bamboo sticks will produce a little less because the clothing line to the top of the greenhouse is really the best system. It really allows your plant to grow like 8 to 10 feet high, and this will produce the most tomatoes. But where I don't use this system, I also want to work on my bamboo game. Tomato plants, those are my most grown tomato plants. They are arriving basically at the belt level. Smaller, slightly tomato plants. So you can see I'm tying them to the clothing line and they will grow. And then whenever they have a new stage, I will clip this new stage to the clothing line, and that's how you grow them vertically. I have broccoli here, beets, tomato, beets, sage. I've harvested already from this plant just before taking the picture, so that's part of my harvest today. Garlic, strawberries, you can see a little red strawberry here, almost ready for harvest. The kale plant is producing, look at this. This year I'm not caring so much about farming the kale leaves. I'm caring about farming kale seeds because I want these kale seeds, because this specimen has survived the winter. Unlike all of my other kale plants that all disappeared, this one stayed alive. And so I'm like, this is a special genetic specimen. I want to farm this forever. So I've let it grow all of its flowers, and look at what happens. Kind of beans. Beans are appearing onto the plant. That means it's just like a turnip or some of these other vegetables. They will create these beans. Isn't that fantastic? I didn't know. Kales produce bean-like structures. Absolutely great. So there will be seed, I guess, in each of these beans. And all I have to do is let the plant dry in the sun, and therefore the seeds will be dried. Fantastic. My broccoli got eaten a little bit by some snail, but I've taken preventive methods. Hopefully it will survive. It's certainly less worse than last year. Last year they were all eaten. This year I have just some damage due to snails. So that's more recently planted tomato on the main line. So here you can see what I've done. I've attached a clothing line to a tent spike in the ground, and I've wrapped it in tape. Not that I believe the tape will necessarily survive the winter, but the tape is there ready to shape the clothing line so that it's holding. And once the clothing line is shaped, I've several rotation of the clothing line around the spike so that hopefully once it's taken its shape, it will not just go away. So my guess is that the tape might survive a year, but that the clothing line being attached to the spike will survive more than a year. This is the state of my pepper. Again, there's always this thing happening with peppers. They are healthy inside. I get them outside and somehow they don't like the soil. So they get eaten by insects. And I mean, it's not bad. They might survive. But there's something I don't understand yet about pepper farming. Dark Urza says, JF, if you have a spare plot, you should seed it with buckwheat. It's a fast-growing weed that can be used as a cover crop, attracts pollinators, and apparently can be fed to chicken as they love it. Ah, buckwheat. That's sarrasin in French. I love buckwheat. I love sarrasin. I love the little crepes that you can do with this. So yes, I might consider farming this. It's not out of the question. And we have some beets, some more tomatoes on bamboos, beets, tomatoes, zucchini. Zucchini a little bit destroyed, but zucchini or squash. And that's a zucchini or squash. And that's maybe a cucumber, but it's barely making it. We have some beans that are still not yellow. And more zucchini plants. Beautiful. That is so beautiful to me. Healthy leaves. Of course, not those on the left here, but you know that the plant has enough with this. It has enough energy to continue its marvelous growth. John Drake, so that's it for my garden tour. John Drake says, RIP Dr. Zelenko. He's dead. Dr. Simon Gold, we stand on his shoulder. Statement by Zelenko Labs on the passing of our founder, Vladimir Zev Zelensko. He had been very involved in the combat against the vaccine. It is with immense sorrow, June 30, so that's today, it is with immense sorrow that we announce the passing of our founder, Vladimir Zelenko. Okay, so he knew he was about to die and he created the Z Freedom Foundation. Well, rest in peace, Dr. Zelenko. I had never been a fan of his. I think I would have to review why, because I remember not trusting this guy. I think he was a little bit unreliable in his treatment of the vaccine question and, you know, making these outrageous claims and it's a genetic program for eliminating humanity. I don't know if he exactly said these things, so I don't want to quote him as saying this. But I remember watching videos of him and being like, nah, this guy doesn't have it. But still, you know, respect to the man for speaking freely and for being part of the forces of rationality against the vaccine craziness that had taken over this society. So that's it, boys, for today. I will see you all tomorrow. Someone was asking if I could debate Sticks on the Crucible on the question of abortion. The Crucible has contacted him and he's up for it. So we're soon going to get a Crucible debate, me versus Sticks, and I have to be pro-abortion. He is a libertarian. I'm assuming that he's going to be pro-abortion. I have to be anti-abortion. He's going to be pro-abortion. Sorry, I'm mistaken this. Do you plant any asparagus or rhubarb? I tried asparagus the first year from seed. It was too hard. I have two plants of rhubarbs. I want to get to it and understand it, but asparagus is not a priority right now. Dino Legovic says he will put a hex on JF. Hopefully I don't transform into a frog for debating Sticks. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.